are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, welcome back to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. I'm your host, Jake Mastriani. You can follow me on Twitter at shortstopball. Check out my bio to see everywhere where I am covering the game of baseball, covered at very many different levels from Major League, college, prospects. I cover it all, but here we talk about your Milwaukee Brewers. Please make sure you follow at Locked On Brewers on Twitter and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. If you're new to the podcast, gearing up for the trade deadline, we post daily podcasts Monday through Friday, so lots of Milwaukee Brewers content about your favorite team. So make sure that you do subscribe, rate, review, all of that good stuff. Appreciate all your support for the podcast. Today we'll be going over a good bit of news, going to talk about Christian Yelich news and my overall thoughts on him and the season and just kind of his future as well. We'll get into the latest trade rumors leading up to the deadline, and then we'll recap Tuesday's snoozer of a baseball game. Before we do that, let me remind you this episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Spotify Green Room app and join me the next time I go live to get on in on the action. You can follow me on the Spotify Green Room app simply at shortstopball, same as my Twitter handle. I'm considering going live on Friday afternoon during the trade deadline if my work schedule permits. So that should be a lot of fun. So make sure that you look out for that on Friday. Remember, that trade deadline is this upcoming Friday afternoon. It'll be on the 30th, not the 31st this year. So make sure that you, again, keep that in mind. I'll keep reminding you throughout the week. But should be a lot of fun. Really looking forward to that afternoon. Well, let's get into some news, because we had a pretty good bit of news on Tuesday. We'll start with some positives. And Lorenzo Cain came back off the IL. He played in Tuesday night's game, picked up a pair of hits. Batting him down in the order, which I think is very smart. Still trying to ease him back in. Wouldn't be surprised if he is even off tomorrow, or today, rather. Sorry, recording this on Tuesday night. But, you know, wouldn't be surprised if Council continues to try to ease him back in, give him, you know, off days here and there. I mean, I think that was going to be the plan coming into the season anyway. But especially with how things go, and you want to make sure you got a healthy Cain for the stretch run and hopefully the postseason. So it wouldn't be surprised if Cain still gets a lot of off days throughout the rest of the season. But really good to see him back, see him having some success. I know he's important to this team and to the clubhouse, especially with the news of Yelich that we're going to talk about in a minute. Pablo Reyes was recalled from Nashville to take Jace Peterson's spot, who's also out because of COVID concerns like Yelich. David Williams reinstated from the 10-day IL. Angel Perdomo was optioned out. That was kind of a bummer for me. I like Perdomo. I think he's been really good. I think he had a shot to step up as a high-leverage arm there, because he certainly has the stuff to be that type of guy. So kind of bummed to see that he was the one optioned out, but I haven't really looked. Maybe he's just one of the guys out there that has options right now, and maybe some of the others don't. But I still like Perdomo and what he could do if he can just command his stuff, which he has been lately. He's been pretty dominant. So hopefully we'll see him back up soon. Travis Shaw and Dylan File both began rehab assignments in Nashville. I think File may have already been on a rehab assignment, but Travis Shaw joining him in Nashville as they both continue to work their way back. Again, will probably be a long rehab stint for Shaw, similar to something what we saw with Cain, probably a couple of weeks. So still probably be, you know, first or second week in August before we see Shaw back. And then the big news of Monday was Christian Yelich. Obviously already touched on this, but he goes on the COVID IL. Was showing symptoms on Monday, mentioned it, which props to him that he, you know, mentioned he was having symptoms, got tested, and turned out that he was positive. So delayed the flight on Monday, which had a lot of people questioning, you know, what was going on. And that ended up being what the case was, what the issue was, as that players were getting tested and contact tracing was going on. Jace Peterson's the only one that we know of so far that was part of that contact tracing. Per the rules, Yelich will miss a minimum of 10 days and Peterson 7 days. So we'll be without those guys for that amount of time. Honestly, losing Peterson kind of really hurts the most right now. I shouldn't say that. I mean, Yelich is still a really good player, and at least, if anything, he is a player in the lineup that you have to work around as an opposing team and opposing pitcher. But Peterson's been playing really well, getting on base, playing solid defense, so he's been a very important part of the lineup. So being without those two is really going to hurt over the next week or so. Luckily, the Brewers have a pretty manageable schedule coming up with Pirates for 6 of their next 9 games, I believe. So it certainly is doable to get through that without them. We'll talk about it. They got it done on Tuesday. Again, the Pirates are in a rough place right now, so it's a good time to be playing them with Yelich and Peterson out. Doesn't sound like it's going to be anything too serious with Yelich. He did have his COVID shot, so hopefully the symptoms won't be too bad. But again, props to him for even saying anything. A lot of players, a lot of people will just continue to try to battle through those symptoms, not really say anything, continue to just go about their business, and that's how you get a whole team infected and games canceled. So good on Yelich for doing that, but it is going to hurt to be without him and Peterson for a while. But I wanted to kind of transition that into just the season for Yelich, and it almost feels like this is going to be another lost year for Yelich. Now, I know this is just a temporary thing. It's COVID. He'll be back. But, I mean, the year hasn't gone well for Yelich. That's been documented at length now. July was his worst month of the season, you know, and he's been playing. You know, he had the injuries earlier in the year, but he's been playing for a while now. And we keep just thinking he's going to turn things around, but he's not. The power is just not there, which leads me to believe that the back issues are still a concern for him. And I talked about this when he first started going down with those back problems. That's just not something that goes away. It's something that only rest can handle. As somebody who has a lot of back issues like I do, it's not something that's just simply going to go away. You either have to learn to play through it and push through the pain, which, you know, I think he's trying to do. But at the same time, you know, he's an elite athlete. I am not. And that's got to be having some sort of effect on his power. I think the numbers certainly reflect that. You know, he's certainly not making that an excuse, but I just have to believe. I mean, we're seeing, you know, record low numbers for him right now in the power department. 6 home runs for Christian Yelich right now. It's just something is not right. That should be raising a huge red flag. And this is pure speculation on my part, which can be dangerous, but I just have to believe that the back injuries continue to bother him, and he's just trying to learn to play through it and manage it and still be a productive part of this lineup. I am really concerned about the future for Yelich because, like I said, those back problems are not something that's going to go away. I think it's something he's always going to deal with. And Yelich he did play well in 2020. I understand that, but 2020, I throw out a lot of stats. But now you're backing that up with, again, what could be another lost year. I mean, it's very capable he comes back in the last month and a half and is the Yelich that we all are used to seeing and has a big postseason and puts all these concerns to bed. But if things keep going the rest of this year like they have, I mean, it's essentially going to be another lost year for him, which is disappointing and really concerning going forward because the Brewers invested a lot of money in him to be the centerpiece of their lineup for a long time. And if this is the Yelich we're going to get, that's a big disappointment. I mean, if you're not getting the 30 to 40 home run bat that you paid for, and instead you're getting a 20 home run bat, you know, that's a huge loss. So I am a little worried, a little concerned on Yelich right now. The COVID thing is just another speed bump, in his progress to try and get back to what he wants to be. And I know he feels the pressure. I know he wants to be better than what he's doing and is trying to. It's just not happening. And now you got this. He's going to be off for 10 days. We'll see how that affects him coming back. Maybe he's able to, if the symptoms aren't bad, he's able to continue to hitting. Maybe he can work on some things. I know over the All-Star break, he just kind of got away from it all. Maybe he does that again, just kind of clears his mind. Maybe he gets in the cage, and I don't know. But something needs to change. The Brewers desperately need him to be that MVP guy if they're going to have a chance in the postseason. We'll take a break, and we'll come back and get into some trade rumors news. A lot of good stuff from Tuesday. A couple of deals going down. So we'll get into all of that next. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. Green Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the Milwaukee Brewers or whatever your favorite team is. You'll find fans just like you on Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. You'll have a chance to chat with me and might even have a chance to be featured on the Locked On Brewers podcast through our Green Room conversations. Go download the free Spotify Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the group of your choice for the latest league updates. And follow me at shortstopball to be notified when my room goes live. So like I said, a good bit to get to from Tuesday. A lot of trade rumors floating around. Very exciting time of the year. One of my favorite times of the year. There wasn't a lot in terms of Brewers news on Tuesday. The Brewers are pretty tight with all of their dealings and what's going on. So certainly don't expect to hear a ton of news on them. Levi Weaver of The Athletic did report that the Brewers have shown interest in starting pitcher Kyle Gibson from the Texas Rangers. Gibson, one of the starters out there that's most likely going to get moved at the deadline. Gibson doesn't really do much for me. I talked about it on the podcast yesterday with Vinny. If they're going to trade for a starter, I'd really would rather them go all in at kind of a top of the rotation type arm. And that's what you hope your team does, is goes out and get the best starter on the market. But the reason I say that is because the Brewers have a lot of Kyle Gibson types already. I would put him right in there with Adrian Houser and Brett Anderson and maybe even Eric Lauer with the way he's pitched at times. And again, you have Josh Lindblom in Nashville who's pitched really well there, but could be some insurance if you need him. So I don't really see the fit for Gibson unless you just want to get another veteran arm to help eat some innings to get through the rest of the regular season. But again, like I said on the podcast Tuesday with Vinny, it's just I don't see somebody like Gibson really making a difference in the postseason. And so that's why I say if you're going to trade for a starter looking towards the postseason, it has to be a top-of-the-rotation type of guy. Otherwise, I think you're just getting somebody to fill some innings the rest of the way. Speaking of top-of-the-rotation starters, Max Scherzer is available. The Brewers weren't one of the eight teams Jason Stark mentioned as having interest in Scherzer. That doesn't mean that they aren't, but this is not one of the teams that Stark mentioned. Scherzer does have veto rights. He can veto any trade if he doesn't like the destination. It does sound like he prefers one of the West Coast teams, and either the Dodgers, Padres. He wants to go to a team that can win this year, somewhere he feels like he can sign long term. Unfortunately, I don't think that's going to be Milwaukee, more so for the second part of that than the first part. But there's still a lot of people out there that don't believe in this Brewers team, don't think they actually have a chance to win the World Series. I am not one of those, but that is certainly the national outlook from a lot of people. So, the darlings out there are the Padres, are the Dodgers, so could understand why Scherzer's probably eyeing in on one of those teams being a better fit for him. The Giants are showing interest in Chris Bryant, which would be, any of these players coming out of the NL Central is just going to help the Brewers, you know, try to wrap up this division in the second half. So, you know, Giants want Chris Bryant. The Cubs want to trade him. You know, good riddance. That'll make it easier for the Brewers to beat the Cubs the rest of the way. Same with Kimbrel. John Morosi says the Blue Jays, Yankees, and Padres are in on Joey Gallo. I know that's somebody we've talked about as a potential fit for the Brewers. But again, they're not mentioned as having interest on him. Doesn't mean that they aren't showing interest in him, but certainly not one of the leading candidates for him at this moment. Trey Turner also tested positive for COVID on Tuesday. So he'll be out throughout the rest of the deadline, just like Yelich will be out for at least 10 days. Turner's not somebody I've really mentioned, but he's kind of a sneaky good candidate for the Brewers to consider. I think he could play third base. He also has experience in the outfield, is something you could consider there. Trey Turner is really good. If you're not very familiar with him and what he does for that Nationals team, he is a really good player, really good shortstop. Again, I've talked about it several times. I think the Brewers are going to target the best bat available, regardless of position, that they can get at a good price and go with it. Turner does have another year of control next season, so that's something to keep in mind as well. But he's also going to come with a pretty hefty prospect tag there, so it would take a good bit to get him. The Brewers had to part with one of their top prospects to do so. So I still don't think that's a likely move, but definitely one to consider if the Brewers wanted to make an all-in type of trade. From Tuesday, the Astros traded for relievers Kendall Graveman and Rafael Montero from the Mariners, which was a bit surprising since the Mariners are still in contention, and apparently that upset a lot of players on the Mariners team, and rightfully so. Graveman would have been a really good addition for the Brewers. He's a really good bullpen arm, been great for them this year, so miss out on that one. And the Phillies traded for Pirates starter Tyler Anderson, but it does sound like there is a hiccup in that trade with one of the players that was supposed to be going to the Pirates in that deal. Some issues with the medicals there. As you all know, Tyler Anderson was supposed to start on Tuesday against the Brewers, but got pulled from that start. So we'll see if that trade gets completed. Either way, Tyler Anderson's probably on the move somewhere. Our friends at Odyssey posted an article listing the five best relievers available at the deadline. That list includes Dylan Floro of the Marlins, Ian Kennedy of the Rangers, Daniel Hudson of the Nationals, Richard Rodriguez of the Pirates, and Craig Kimbrel of the Cubs. John Heyman added Brad Hand of the Nationals, Taylor Rogers of the Twins, who is now on the IL, Tanner Scott of the Orioles, and Richard Blyer of the Marlins. There is a big gap on that list from Kimbrel and everybody else, basically. Kimbrel is by far the best arm available. After him, it's really just a solid back of the bullpen guys, but nothing really over the top and nothing that really I think will be that expensive. But I think you see the Brewers probably get at least one of those arms leading up to the deadline. And then the Padres are trying to move Eric Hosmer. And look, Eric Hosmer is expensive right now. The Padres would have to eat a lot of that money in order to move him. I still don't know that it's likely to happen, but I thought it was worth kind of mentioning because the Brewers obviously need a first baseman. Hosmer has been good in the past. He's obviously has some postseason experience winning a World Series with the Royals. He has not been good at all this year, a 710 OPS, 8 home runs. Hitting 266, 330 on base, those are okay numbers. 100 OPS plus, which are just league average. He's not really a great defender at first base anymore. But, again, he might be better than the options that the Brewers have. And perhaps he figures things out and kind of gets it going in the second half. Again, it's not like he's been terrible, but certainly not worth what the Padres are paying him. Which is a good amount of money right now for him. And he's still under contract through 2025, making $21 million next year and $13 million from 2023 to 2025. So, again, that is a huge contract, a lot of money left there. The Padres are trying to get out from under some of that money in order to clear up room to make some other moves, as they just traded for Adam Frazier, are likely looking to move Cronenworth to first base, see if they can move some money with Hosmer. The Padres are getting close to the luxury tax. So I don't think that's a likely option for the Brewers, but again, with the limited amount of first basemen out there and the Brewers really needing a first baseman, I think it's at least worth talking about and considering if the Padres would eat down a lot of money in that contract. I'm talking about a lot of money in order to move him. And that's really going to be the case wherever they try to trade him. They'd have to eat a lot of money. But Hosmer was decent last year in a short season, 851. But two seasons before that, he really wasn't great either. Really, most of his time in San Diego, he hasn't been very good. His 4 years in San Diego, he has a 735 OPS compared to a 781 OPS over 7 years in Kansas City. So, and he is 31, turned 32 in October. So again, not a great fit probably for the Brewers, but did want to mention it because that is another first baseman that has come up on the market, and the Brewers are certainly looking for somebody at first base. We'll come back and talk about Tuesday's game and preview Wednesday's game as well. The show is also brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. If you're looking for a fantastic tasting protein bar, then look no further. Built Bar has a ton of flavors and a wide variety of flavors at that. It's not just your regular chocolate chip fudge, or cookies and cream, which remain some of my favorites. It's a bunch of different flavors from almond toffee to mint, coconut, peanut butter fudge, another one that I'm really enjoying right now, dark chocolate raspberry. There's a ton of really interesting, really cool flavors you don't normally get in protein bars, something that's going to give you a unique taste, something that tastes good, and what I appreciate is they're not hard as a rock like a lot of the other protein bars out there. Have a soft middle, so it's very easy to chew, easy to get down. Whether you like to take them before workout, after workout, as a meal replacement in the morning, or whether it's just a snack for you like they are for me, you can eat them anytime. I can't tell you enough how good they are, especially for a protein bar. So go to BuiltBar.com today. Try a bunch of different flavors to figure out which ones are your favorites. Go to BuiltBar.com and use our promo code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off your next order. Again, just go to BuiltBar.com today and use the promo code LOCKEDON15. So a pretty long episode here with just me by myself. Hopefully I have Vinny back tomorrow. But I want to quickly go through the recap. I'm going to be completely honest with you here. By the time I finished dinner, this game was already over, so I did not watch a single bit of it. It had to be one of the most boring watches of the year, especially after the first inning. Even for a Brewers fan, there just wasn't much going on after that. The Pirates are just dismantling the team right now. They traded Frazier. They apparently traded the guy who was supposed to start tonight in Tyler Anderson. They didn't even really know who was going to start this game for him until about an hour before. So this game went exactly how you would expect it to go, with the Brewers scoring 8 runs in the first and cruising to an easy win. I mean, really not much else to say about this one. I'd hate to be just really short and blunt and honest, but they scored 3 in the first and 5 in the second. It was 8-0 by the time I finished dinner and sat down to watch the game. Wong, Adames, Narvaez, Avisel, Telez, and Kane all had 2 hits in this game. Narvaez drove in 4, Telez drove in 3. Again, really great to see Kane get a couple of hits in his return. Certainly love to see that. Maybe overshadowed because the game, again, was essentially over after the second inning there, as Brett Anderson didn't let that affect him at all. Sometimes you see pitchers with big leads lose focus. He pitched 6 shutout innings, allowing just 3 hits and a walk. So great start from Brett Anderson, eating up a lot of innings there with a big lead. Love to see that. The Brewers did announce Adrian Houser will pitch on Wednesday and Freddie Peralta on Thursday to wrap up this series. Should be a normal start for Peralta, normal pitch count and everything. Houser could have a piggyback in his start on Wednesday. Either way, with what all is going on with the Pirates and their team just in complete shambles at the moment, I'd be kind of surprised if the Brewers just don't demolish them in this series and just straight sweep them. All the Pirates over there got to be wondering if they're the next guy getting traded right now. And the Brewers are just a much better team. So expecting the Brewers to finish this one off, stay focused, get the wins they're supposed to here, and finish off a sweep. But we'll come back tomorrow, talk about some more trade rumors. Maybe we'll have a trade to talk about for the Brewers. But that'll do it for this episode of Lockdown Brewers. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Lockdown Brewers to get notified whenever I post a new episode. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at ShortstopBall. And make sure you subscribe, rate, review the Lockdown Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. And we'll talk to you next time.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.